Hi, I'm Jen Sheehan. I'm the managing editor here at KALW News. We are currently in our spring membership drive, and if you want to show your support for the great work that we do here at Cross Currents, go to kalw.org and hit that donate button in the top right corner. Thank you so much.
KALW.
This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. A few years ago, a survey found that 4 out of 5 people working in publishing are white. The new book, All the Women in My Family Sing, is an exception. The anthology is a passionate blend of personal stories by women of color from all walks of life, and women of color took part in the entire production of the book. I sat down with the editor, Deborah Santana, and Kira Lynn Allen, one of the book's writers, to talk about the anthology and diversity, or lack thereof, in the publishing world. And just a quick warning to our listeners, this story does contain some sensitive material.
Okay, so Deborah, where did this idea come from?
3 years ago, my friend and co-publisher Chris Bronstein approached me about being editor of an anthology of essays by women of color. So the idea came from her, and we sent out a call for submissions and received over 300. And the call was, tell us what it means to be a woman of color in the world today.
Why?
I was born and raised in San Francisco, a daughter of an Irish-English mother and an African-American father. And even though San Francisco and California were more liberal than other places in the United States, I was aware of my ethnicity and the marginalization of people of color since I was a small child. Mm-hmm. And I have been an advocate for women of color for longer than I can remember. And to hear our stories is extremely impactful and necessary now because the dominant culture has kept history as mythology in terms of what women of color and women have contributed and people of color. So to tell our stories and try to invite everyone into the conversation is extremely important to me.
And tell your own story rather than somebody else writing it for you.
Absolutely. Right. And that's often what happens in publishing, which is the other side of this. So in publishing, the majority of the industry is run by the dominant culture, by whites. Mm-hmm. So if we have 82% of people in publishing white and 79% of the editors white, then that lens is what is going to allow books and voices to be heard and published. And so many, many, many of the essays talk about racism because that's a reality. Mm-hmm. But many of the essays talk about love and health and a vacation, a goal, a dream.
And so one of the stories you chose was Kira's. Hi, Kira.
Hi.
Can we meet you first by reading an excerpt from
your
story?
Sure. Can I just say first that the beauty for me is the layers and layers and layers of understanding that even I, as a woman of color who's grown up in the Bay Area, learned things about different ethnicities than my own.
Right.
And yet there's points of connection, and that's part of the beauty of it. Mm-hmm. So I feel so blessed and honored to be able to say that my name is amongst all of these amazing women. My essay is titled, Learning to Thrive. The year I turned 9, a trifecta of events occurred that shaped the woman I am today. 1. 8.5 years of grand mal seizures finally subside. My mother defies all the doctor's orders and weans me off my epilepsy medication to stop the drool, lack of concentration, tripping over my own feet, wetting the bed every night, profound insomnia, and all the teasing that goes with it. 2. My mother's brother rips my legs open and crams his grown-up body inside of me, and then makes it my fault by saying, "That's what you get, you little bitch." He's angry because he feels he has lost his white sister to my black father. I am lost in a 17-year spell of shame because I feel responsible for his rage. 3. My fifth grade teacher, Mr. Bianchi, teaches me to write haiku. His lesson plan becomes my salvation, my invitation to a world of words where I am more than anyone can see, even me. I know now that having a place to silently express the secrets eating me up inside kept me alive. I dropped out of high school at 15, with everyone, including me, thinking I'd be dead before age 20 because my silence was killing me.
How did you decide to write this very personal, painful story?
What I found is that my redemption comes from sharing my story, from allowing other women to know that it's only by letting secrets out of our bodies and our hearts and minds that we start to heal. I'm now 26 years clean and sober. As the essay goes on, I talk about my daughters and some of their successes and the things that have happened in my own life that make me know that it's only one part of the story. It's mm-hmm. not the whole story.
We always say we need more women of color in media, all aspects of media. What about the writing space, Deborah?
I don't really know if more of us are writing. I hope so. And I think that the publishing is changing in terms of anything that society can monetize, they're going to pursue. So as we see more films with people of color becoming popular and making money for the industry, then of course it will shift. There are so many ethnicities out there, and that's what I think is the importance of our anthology. Mm-hmm. The woman who writes of the killing fields in Cambodia and losing 37 family members before she came to America. The Native voices, the indigenous First Nations women who write. The Chinese American woman who loved punk music, mm-hmm. although she played the violin. So all of those voices to me are so rich.
What are some of the challenges, some of the hurdles that women of color writers do you think face today?
Can I answer that a little bit?
Yeah, Kira, go ahead.
Many of the essays in this book would not have even made it to print were a white staff editing, and that if they were there, they would look very, very different, that the editing process mm-hmm. would seek to eliminate some of the authenticity of voice, of language, of experience. There's an incredible TED Talk, Adichie.
Mm-hmm. Chimamanda?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That she talks about the danger of a single story. She talks about going to publish for the first time and someone saying, well, this is not authentically African because there's a driver for the children and mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. You know, in other words, you can't be African if you don't live in a hut with a dirt floor is like, excuse me?
I know all about that. I know all about that.
You know?
Yes.
So I think that it was such a gift personally to have the freedom to not say, oh, you can't say that. You know, you can't be that in this experience. And I feel like with a woman of color editor, that there's an allowance that doesn't exist in some other spaces, mm-hmm. in a dominant space, because there isn't the questioning.
And the beauty of this process and this anthology and working with these women has been getting to know each one. These voices are so vital to everyone. There are so many people who come to our events who are of the dominant ethnicity and are thrilled. Mm-hmm. And are buying multiple books to give to their friends, and who invite us to yet another reading so they can invite their own friends. So I am very encouraged by the mission of this book and by the voices of these women.
Mm-hmm. Is it more valuable to create spaces of color, or is it more valuable to try to get into the mainstream spaces, media, publishing houses, and be at the table when everybody else is white and it's just you?
I think it's both.
It's tough.
I think that you have to have what I would call a safe space, a collective space where you get to be authentic and really be heard and seen and lifted up.
Mm. But we have to have that seat at the table. But I agree with Kira. We have to have our community where we can be ourselves to give us the fortitude to move out and work in the world.
Mm. What is this really about for you? What does this really mean to you, this anthology?
So I am celebrating this anthology because of what it's given me personally, as well as what it's giving the world.
A gift. That's what it is. What about you, Kira?
I would like to read one more paragraph.
Absolutely. Take us out.
This is closing out my essay. I believe that by teaching people to speak up, we become living, breathing examples to one another that healing is possible. When I had less than 6 years clean and sober, I listened to a woman with 23 years of recovery share her story about choosing her best self 1 second at a time. She told us all, 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 years from now, I can use if I want to. But right this second, I think I won't. Think about that. Choosing to claim each moment as the moment to love ourselves enough to say no to our own self-destruction.